Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. Our scripture reading for today, printed in your bulletin, is from Isaiah chapter 12, verse 4. And in that day shall you say, "Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted." We will be singing the first and last stanzas of two hymns this morning, so let's begin our worship with hymn number 34, Immortal, Invisible.
Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Please remain standing. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of our precious Jesus, our High Priest, our Savior, our offering, the Lamb of God. And so, Father, as you have commanded us to preach the gospel locally and around your local destination and around the world, we are pleased, O God, to open the doors of Bethel Baptist Church here in our city, in Morin Hill, California, the United States of America, and then around the world through the internet and through the radio ministry of KKMC Live, and then through the city ministry to so many homes around the country. We are grateful for those in New York, Texas, Arizona, Pennsylvania, in Minnesota, and so many other places, those in Korea who listen to our broadcast. Thank you, Father, that you allow us to imply to people that we respect your word and love your word. And it is because of your word that now we know Jesus, the Savior, the intercessor, the offering that you gave us so that our life can be justified before you. Now, Father, we pray for those who cannot be here today. We pray for Jovi and Matthew Noriel, who are sick. And I pray for my wife, Mrs. Otero, who is also experiencing problem with asthma. The Lord, you relieve them according to your power. And we know that your power has no limits. And so you are able to work in our life. Lord, this Sunday is much easier than the Sunday before when I run from the plane to the church, and I'm grateful that I'm here with your people today. We thank you, Lord, that your missionaries are always alive and always working in their field. Carol and Ruth Knott, Eusebio and Marisa Perez, David and Denise Rode, Giovanni and Barbara Avendano, Martha Paretti, Dante and Maruja Rabines, Jose and Diana Avila, the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, the Christian Athletic Association, Daniel and Miriam Lacey, Fred and Carol Lewis. Thank you, Father, that these people represent our church and their fields and their activities and their respective countries. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for the provision that you allow our church to continue even in times like this. And we pray for our nation, who is struggling under a very pressured time. Lord, the reason we are struggling is not because of the economy. It is because people have left you. We have changed the belief that God is the creator. We have changed the belief that God has authority in our life. We have changed the belief that we are human beings with everlasting life to give an accountability to God. Lord, bring America back to Jesus. And help us pastors to preach the word without any other comment except your word. To respect your word again as America did 100 years ago. And brought missionaries into my land and into other lands to bring the gospel of Jesus. Now we need to hear, Father. And we pray that our young people wake up and stand for Jesus wherever they go. Thank you again for your provision. Bless the offering and bless the giver. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, choir. The Lord uses many people, many diverse ways, to bring the gospel to the lost, through young and old alike. And today we will have a young man speak to us, and his name is Cooper Dower. He is 16 years old. And this is one way I'm anxious to hear this presentation, as to how this young man uses perhaps a little different presentation than we might be accustomed to hearing, but how he brings, how God can use such a one to bring many to the Lord. So Cooper, as I said, is 16 years old. He's home educated, and he's a sophomore in high school. He wrote this speech when he was only 14 years old, last June in South Carolina, as a first-year speech student. And when he was 15 years old, he placed fifth in the nation, competing against older and more experienced speakers. He is the youngest of five children. He has 14 nieces and nephews. His interests include speech and debate club, Boy Scouts. Cooper serves as a treasurer for a live-action pro-life club. And Cooper enjoys the outdoors, music, and piano. He is a faithful, godly young man who serves and loves the Lord. On Tuesday afternoon, he enjoys meeting with the Noriel family and a few others to study biblical principles and wisdom. As for his future, he is praying along with his parents in seeking the Lord's will. Praise God. He is competing with three new speeches this year and hasn't performed this one for a while. The topic of the speech Cooper will perform today is on a familiar topic to many of us these days. I'm anxious to hear this, on intelligent design. So Cooper believes the Lord gave him this speech, and it is his gift to others to give it back. He will perform for one sick person, or for Bible studies, or for larger groups. And last summer, he performed for over 2,000 and received a standing ovation. Cooper gives all the glory and praise back to the Lord. So now we can sit back and enjoy about 10 minutes of educational, evangelical, and entertaining speech. So if you will come now, Cooper, and bring your easel with you, we see. We'll have a short Q&A session after Cooper concludes his presentation.
Is everyone ready?
Yes.
All right. Look at this Rubik's Cube. Do you think that a toy manufacturer just randomly put it together without a plan or design? I don't think so, and I doubt if you do. This Rubik's Cube had an intelligent designer, one who created it based on orderly patterns. I contend that our world is filled with orderly patterns, the work of an intelligent designer. If we stop to take notice, we will find these patterns around us in nature, mathematics, and music. Today, we will examine these patterns and then consider how, through the complex order of even the simplest things, they point to an intelligent designer. Let's begin. In the 1200s, a man named Leonardo Pisa discovered a pattern in a series of numbers, which are known as the Fibonacci numbers. Man has recently discovered these patterns, but it is the intelligent designer who first created them. The Fibonacci numbers consist of a sequence of numbers that form an orderly pattern. You'll see them here beginning with 0, then 1, then another 1, then 2, 3, 5, 8, and on to infinity. This amazing pattern is created by adding the number plus the previous number to come up with the next number. For example, we start with 1. We add the number before it, 0. 0 plus 1 equals 1. Then we continue by adding 1 plus 1 equals 2, 1 plus 2 equals 3, 2 plus 3 equals 5, and so on. About now, you might find yourself asking, so what does this chain of numbers have to do with anything? These numbers reflect patterns in art and music that are pleasing to the human eye and ear. In mathematics, these number patterns reflect reliable systems that readily make sense and create order for the human mind. I believe it is God the intelligent designer who first created these numbers that show up throughout creation. Let me show you what I mean. It is not surprising that nature and the field of mathematics are intricately connected and woven with orderly patterns. What do flowers, ram's horns, snail shells, and galaxies have in common? You'll be surprised. They all follow the Fibonacci sequence. Looking more closely at a sunflower, we can see that there are two sets of spirals going in opposite directions. The sunflower seeds are growing in two consecutive numbers from the Fibonacci sequence, 34 this way and 55 the other. Although there are exceptions, flower petals also follow this sequence, 3, 5, 8, 13, and 21. My first introduction to the Fibonacci sequence was through listening to Vision Forum's audio adventure series of Jonathan Park. He speaks of the golden spiral, which is made from the golden rectangle, which is made from the Fibonacci numbers. The golden rectangle was created by using two consecutive numbers from the Fibonacci sequence, in this case, 13 by 21. Then, the golden rectangle was divided into squares by counting down the Fibonacci sequence. 13, 8, 5, 3, 2, 1, and 1. When each of these squares is dissected, the golden spiral is formed. Surprisingly, if we study a ram's horn, take a closer look at a ram's horn, a parrot's beak, a snail shell, the cochlea in our inner ear, the spiral in our fingerprint, hurricanes, galaxies, and even the way water drains, we can see that they all follow the incredible principle of the golden spiral. But the one that I find most fascinating, and you may too, is that even a baby in the mother's womb follows the incredible principle of the golden spiral as well. Music and musical instruments are also based on the Fibonacci sequence. On a keyboard, there are groups of two and three black notes. Although the equation is too complex for me to explain in this time constraint, scholars now know that even Stradivari was aware of the Fibonacci sequence and used it to place the F holes in his famous violins. Musical theory also has Fibonacci patterns in it. There are eight notes in a scale. If we count the chromatic octave, there are 13 notes. All of these numbers are part of the Fibonacci sequence. Many composers use this sequence in their music. Not only is the master composer intelligent, but he is creative. He enjoys his orderly world, and so do we. A fun and practical example of orderly patterns is none other than juggling. With the right sequence, timing, and rhythm, an orderly pattern is achieved. As a matter of fact, the juggling process will fail if not done in an orderly fashion, as I've just demonstrated. I contend that the balls fall like we fall if we do not live according to the order established by the intelligent designer. We have been infused with the orderly workings of our Creator. Perhaps that is one reason why we function best in an orderly setting and why we appreciate order and predictability in our lives. It's no wonder why the Apostle Paul wrote in the New Testament of the Holy Bible, "Let all things be done decently and in order." A final example of patterns in order is a personal favorite, the Rubik's Cube. It reminds me that when things are out of order in my life, they can quickly fall back into place when I follow the patterns of the one who designed them. I love the Rubik's Cube. As a matter of fact, I take it almost everywhere. Have you ever solved one? This one is called a 3x3. There are also 2x2s, 4x4s, and 5x5s. Though each one varies in complexity, each one is an example of an orderly pattern. The cube was invented in the 1970s by Dr. Erno Rubik, a professor of architecture in Budapest, Hungary. He liked to play and experiment with three-dimensional objects. He invented the cube. However, after he invented it, he thought it would be impossible to solve. But finally, after 1 month of studying, testing, and reconfiguring his own creation, Dr. Erno Rubik unlocked the code of patterns inherent in his own design and solve the cube that he created himself. Today, the Rubik's Cube has become a worldwide fad and is even made into the movies. You might remember seeing the Rubik's Cube featured in the movie The Pursuit of Happiness, and most recently, in WALL-E. Something else Dr. Rubik discovered with his different puzzles is that many patterns must be solved in a specific order, as is the case with the cube. It takes the right algorithms to solve. If we just turned it every which way, it wouldn't come together. It takes precise, orderly movements. An original Rubik's Cube has over 43 quintillion possible configurations, and only one of those configurations results in the solved cube. If I was not limited to my 10-minute time limit, I could solve all of these cubes for you. Because even though I am not the designer, I have been able to study, learn, and trust the consistencies of the patterns that are an integral part of this cube, like the Fibonacci numbers. Even though human designers like Dr. Rubik may be confounded by their own creations, I contend that there is an intelligent designer, the master creator of all patterns, who delights, as we learn, of his order, purpose, and beauty in all things. Nature, mathematics, and music point to him. One of the reasons why I love this popular toy is that I can use its color patterns to tell an incredible story. Finally, watch that, and with this cube's color patterns, I will illustrate a message that has been told for over 2,000 years. Man is born in the darkness or blackness of sin. God sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the penalty for our sin. He shed his blood that we might be forgiven and cleansed of our sin. When we believe by faith, we are forgiven of our sin, we are made as white as snow, and we experience a newness of life. Next, the Bible teaches that we should follow the Lord in the blue waters of believers' baptism. And as our relationship grows with Jesus, we grow spiritually like the green grass of the field. Eternal life in heaven, where the streets are paved with gold, is a free gift given to anyone who believes by faith in Jesus Christ. So let even this Rubik's Cube remind us of the myriad of orderly patterns in our universe, all the handiwork and plan of our intelligent designer. The designer who can take things that are mixed up, like our lives, and put them in order. Thank you.
For that fascinating presentation, I think we have time for a one or two questions for Cooper, if you can have a question for him. You can do so at this time. Ask it. Okay. Well, I think you've dazzled him with... Okay, Kim.
Like the Mona Lisa, and if you look at it, it's actually a golden rectangle. It has the two Fibonacci consecutive numbers, and then if you take that little design that I had for forming the golden spiral, and you put that, you can see that like her nose and her face is right in the middle of that, and it sort of moves out, and it's in the golden rectangle. But it's in a lot of paintings like that.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Appreciate it, Cooper. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the Gospel of Matthew. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 1060. We will be reading Matthew chapter 19, verses 1 through 12. Would you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Matthew chapter 19, verses 1 through 12. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coasts of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. His disciples say unto him, If the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. But he said unto them, All men cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given. For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb, and there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men. And there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you that you have brought us together today to worship you and to learn more of you through the preaching of your word. We are grateful that you have not left us to seek truth from natural minds, but have taught us true truth from your written word. This by the power of the Holy Spirit, without which our lives would be futile. Thank you for sending the Lord Jesus Christ to reconcile us to yourself. Give us understanding of the scriptures, that we may apply the message we hear. We pray now for your servant, our teacher, and pastor, Gabriel Otero. Bless him as he delivers to us the wisdom found in your word, and that we may be doers of that word here and those listening on the radio and internet and CD. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.
Would you please receive?